Luke chapter 17, and we've really done all morning what this text is about. We've practiced it. Now let's just think for just a bit about what it means to practice Thanksgiving and the role that Thanksgiving has in our Christian walk. We're in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The practice of giving thanks, the practice of returning the gift of thanks when we ourselves receive a gift, is a discipline that brings delight. It is the way in which we consistently say yes to the grace of God. The practice of giving thanks is a discipline that we must practice. But it's a discipline that brings delight. And it is the way in which we consistently say yes to the grace of God. In the book Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, Annie Dillard writes stories that were published. She writes about some stories that were published shortly after a certain kind of cataract surgery was mastered. And so suddenly, people that had never seen before, through an operation, could suddenly see. Now, doctors were really interested in what would happen when people would go from never seeing to sight. And they were surprised to find out that some basic things that we learn from early on, if we have vision as babies, were totally, these adults that were able to see were unable to learn, or it took them a long time to learn. Things like spatial awareness and kind of working in three dimensions. They didn't know that when they would see a small object, it meant it was far away. And when an object was larger, it was closer to them. Some basic things that we learned that they didn't come naturally. Further, that the stimulation of bright lights was almost like if we were in a loud room and our ears were overwhelmed by the sound, they weren't able to handle color and movement. And so they would close their eyes for long periods of time, unable to take it all in. You see, they had been healed. They had been given a wonderful gift, a miracle of modern science. And yet they had to learn how to live with the gift. And this took discipline. It took practice. It took encountering the world in new ways. Learning how to live and see, look in this world of light and of color, in this world of three dimensions. In a similar way, thanksgiving, the practice of returning thanks, is a discipline where we learn to look and to see and to live in a world that's punctuated by the pure light of God's grace, a world animated in God's technicolor beauty, a world that is manifested in our real three-dimensional lives. Now, there was another aspect of these studies. Well, the patients had to learn how to see. What they also noticed is that when patients would engage in this discipline of trying to encounter the world, when they would actually open their eyes and try to take it in, is that the patients saw things in a totally different way than the rest of us do or would. They tell stories about children who suddenly can see, and they spend long periods of time opening and closing their hands, moving them closer to their eyes and further away from their eyes, and describing how the light kind of, you know, pours through the openings in their hand, you know, as though their hands are catching light and then letting it through. Another one tells her friend in amazement, who has not yet had the surgery, that it's the most wonderful and peculiar thing, because every person that comes into my room has a totally different face than the other one that comes in. What a remarkable and delightful thing that people have different looking faces. Still another 20-year-old, after opening her eyes she had her eyes closed for 2 weeks after the surgery. When she finally opened her eyes, she began scanning the room quickly and shouting over and over again, "My God, how beautiful!" You see, they had been healed. They had been given a gift, and as they entered into this gift, and they learned the discipline of opening their eyes and experiencing the world in a new way, what came shortly after was delight. Pure delight in the breathtaking beauty of God's world. They were seeing anew all of these things that we take for granted. Similarly, thanksgiving, the practice of returning thanks, is a discipline that brings delight. For when we learn to look and to see and to live in the pure light of God's grace, right here in the real flesh and blood, mundane, ordinary elements of our lives, we cannot help but delight in the ordinary, everyday splendor of life in Christ. In Luke 17, 10 lepers encounter Jesus while he's on the way to Jerusalem, while he's on the way to the cross. They keep their distance from Jesus as those that are unclean would. And they shout out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Jesus does have mercy. And he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. All 10 go as an act of faith. You wouldn't go and show yourself to a priest unless you were made clean. That would be offensive to come without being made clean. And so they all go and they trust and obey the command of Jesus. They show themselves. And all 10 are healed while on the way. But only one, a foreigner, a hated Samaritan, one that the Jews would have assumed was unfaithful, only one returns to Jesus, having noticed that Jesus made him clean. And he falls at the feet of Jesus and gives praise. And he says in a loud voice, you know, "Thank you." Only one comes back to praise God. Only one comes back to give thanks. Now Jesus is a little disturbed by this. He's bothered. And he says, "We're not 10 healed. Why only one returned?" And then he turns to the Samaritan and says, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." And the word for well there is the same word we use for salvation. Your faith has saved you at one level is what Jesus is saying. Now, what is he talking about when he talks about the faith of the man? Well, certainly at one level he's talking about the faith or the trust that the man had to have in going to show himself to the priest in the first case. And what does he mean that your faith has saved you? Is it not just that he's been healed, but that there's something more that by returning to Jesus the man has entered into? Is there a fuller, more complete wellness that comes in this act of thanksgiving after he is healed? Now, Anne Voskamp, the author of 1,000 Gifts, refers to this story. And she thinks that it's the second. That in returning to give thanks, the man is entering into a fullness that can only be received or actualized in our lives by the act of thanksgiving. That there is something about returning to Jesus that makes him well in a way beyond just the healing of blindness. You see, she says, thanksgiving is the manifestation of our yes to God's grace. In thanksgiving, we return our lives to God. And I think this fact of returning, here the man is healed and he goes away. And yet he comes back and he returns to Jesus. This act of returning is perhaps a really good picture of what the discipline of thanksgiving is all about. It's returning to the source. It's returning to the sustainer. It's taking the gifts and the things in our lives and then returning, coming back to offer a gift of thanks in return. 9 out of 10 go on their way. They were healed, and they go on living healed lives. Only one returns to the source of the gift, and only one received this announcement from Jesus that he is made well. It's this act of return, that it's a discipline that roots us, that keeps us centered, that keeps us humble, that keeps us honest. Thanksgiving is our primordial, we might say, act of return. It's this discipline of remembering and recognizing our roots, our source, our sustainer. You know, we hear stories of people that have been famous, and then they come back to their roots, back to their hometown. Well, what is that about? At one level, it's about coming back to the place where it all started. It's about remembering the people that nurtured us, remembering our dependence upon others. Thanksgiving is our return to the source of all good things. Recognizing that we are not our own sustainer, that we are not our own source. And it's only in this discipline that we might experience the delight. Israel in the wilderness. God saves Israel from Egypt, and they are led out into the desert. And they get out there, victory, celebration, God's healed, you know, God saved us. And then a couple days later, they're like, but we're in the desert, and there's no water, and there's no food, and what are we going to do? And so God gives them water from a rock. And then in the morning dew turns into little wafers that taste like honey on the ground. And they go out, and every morning they collect these wafers, and they eat them. And they call it manna, which literally means, what is it? Which is one of my favorite parts of the Bible, I think. And the thing about manna is they could only take what was needed for the day. Those who tried to hoard it or save it up, it was always rotten the following day. They always had enough for the day, and they always had to return the following day to collect it, except for the Sabbath. God would give them extra on the day before the Sabbath. This is a story of faith, and it's also a picture of what happens when we return to our source as we give thanks. You see, God gave them enough for the day, and God gives us enough for today. And so, because God gives enough for today, we return the next day to give thanks and to trust him once again. In returning to the source, the sustainer, Israel recognized their practical dependence on the ongoing gift of God's sustenance, that God was the source that sustains them, that they depend in their very life upon the gift of God. And we're just richer. We live in a world of such unimaginable wealth here in North America that we don't recognize, we can mask the fact that we depend upon the sustaining grace of God. We don't live in the desert. And so we struggle daily to return our lives to God. And instead, we work and we worry, we sweat and we scheme and we hoard to gain advantage, and we get insurance to protect the things that we've hoarded. Then we get insurance for our insurance just in case the first one fails. And we live in fear of safety and security. Fear of the other. And we become so tired. And we recognize at some point in our lives, that the gifts that we are trying to amass and trying to protect, the riches we're trying to store up for ourselves, that just like the manna, they also will rot. And so Jesus invites us numerous places into a life of faith and into trust, into a life of simplicity. He says, look at the flowers of the field. They don't worry, and yet look at how beautiful they are. Look at the birds of the air. They don't spin and labor, and yet God provides food for them. Look even at the rain. Look at the fact that it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Whether they deserve it or not, God gives good gifts. We can mask the fact that we're dependent upon our source and our sustainer, upon the grace of God. But that's just masking, or it's covering over the truth. Thanksgiving is the discipline of returning to our source and our sustainer. The discipline of living in today, of trusting in the gifts of God for today. It is the practical way in which we say yes to the grace of God. In the book 1,000 Gifts, Anne Voskamp challenges her readers to write out, to have a Thanksgiving journal, starting with 1, God, I thank you for. 2, God, I thank you for. And to spend a year listing the things that you're thankful for, creating a journal of Thanksgiving, and with the goal of getting to 1,000, naming 1,000 gifts in your life. And part of her book is both challenging her readers to do that, but then also tracing her own transformation. As she goes from the general and the big and the, you know, all the kinds of things we're giving thanks for, a lot of them this morning are, you know, these big events we had to kind of scratch our head. What's the really big thing that happened in the last week? And yet, as we begin to practice this ongoing act of returning to our source, returning to our sustainer, taking every aspect of our lives and finding a way to bring it back to God and say, God, I am thankful for, as you start to get into the mundane and the ordinary. And so she has things like, I'm thankful for the whistle of the tea kettle, and I'm thankful for, grass stains on the knees of my kids' pants, and I'm thankful for. She starts getting into these very mundane and specific and ordinary kinds of things. And she begins to see all of her life as lived under this umbrella of grace. And she's able to return it, this discipline of returning our lives to God. We go out and we collect the manna that God gives. And we trust that the next day God's going to give what's needed. Thanksgiving is a discipline of returning our lives to God. God, I trust you for today. And tomorrow I'll return to trust you again. But it is not only a discipline. You see, as we learn to live in this way, it also then opens our eyes to a whole new world. It's a discipline that creates the way for delight. A delight that comes from seeing anew what we previously did not see. What we previously took for granted, suddenly in all its glory is seen as beautiful, as gift. You see, the 9 who did not return, they went off and they surely enjoyed the gift of being made clean. They surely enjoyed entering into society and work and relationships again, that they were no longer cut off and set apart. But surely after some time, this gift of being healed miraculously lost a little bit of its luster and became normal. Surely after a while, work became drudgery again. And they didn't every day count the blessing of being made clean. Less and less their lives became a picture of grace, and more their lives became a picture of routine, the kind of routine that we all find ourselves in as well. The 9 that were healed took the gift of Jesus, and they ran with it as though it was for them. And like all things, it became normal, it diminished. It was different, though, for the one who returns, the one who came to return thanks. For in coming back to the source of the gift, he acknowledged that this was not his to own, that this came by grace. And he is able to delight in it all over again as he comes back to Jesus and says, thank you. Praise God for what you have done. In this act of return, he's able to experience the delight of the grace in the event. In the act of return, it's as though his senses are heightened and he sees the glory of what happened. couple years ago, when my girls were, I think they were 4 and 5 at the time, Mary Beth was away. We were still in Minnesota. Mary Beth was away. I don't remember where she was, but I had a night with the kids, and I'm like, well, I want to do something really out of the box, and, you know, so, like, kids, we're going to go camping. And so we're going to go on a hike, an overnight hike. So I packed these tiny little backpacks for them and put them on their backs and got them in good shoes. And then I took my big, like, hiking backpack, stuffed our tent in it, a bunch of food. Like, I threw the whole thing together in about 45 minutes, probably. And drove, like, 45 minutes out of Minneapolis. There's a small little park on a river that you have to hike about a kilometer and a half in to this, kind of down this valley, so the hike is even downhill, down this valley into a campground, and then you set up your camp there. So I figured, you know, we're only going to be, like, you know, an hour walk at their pace from our cars. It's really not going to be that big of a deal. So we go in, and, like, I'm videotaping them, and, like, as they're walking, because they were so, like, heightened. They were just chattering a mile a minute. They were on this adventure with Dad, and it was just, like, they were just so high. We get to the campsite, and I make, I basically just threw cans in a bag. And so I've got, like, canned spaghetti and noodles, like canned spaghetti sauce and noodles. And I cook that all up and then give it to them. I'm interviewing Isabel about our day on video because I wanted to record some of it for Mary Beth. And Isabel's got, like, and she's 4, and she's got, like sauce like this all around her face. And she's got, like, a noodle hanging out of her mouth. And she goes, her eyes are this big. And she goes, "This is the best spaghetti ever." Thanksgiving as a discipline heightens our senses, returning to the source of our gift so that we can delight in even spaghetti out of a can. We can delight in a world where bread from heaven appears every day. And we know and we trust and we will find that it is enough. Now, this doesn't mean that the world is all roses and waterfalls and eagles. The discipline of returning our lives to Jesus, returning to our source and our sustainer, is not only for the highlight reel moments of our lives, or even the ordinary moments that, when we look back, seem kind of special, like this hike with my daughters. It's actually for everything in our life, that all life is sustained by God. That it heightens our senses even in times of suffering and trouble. To return to God, even the pain in our lives. There's a kind of joy that can come through the midst of suffering. And I think this is what Paul means when in Philippians chapter 4, he says, "I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in want or in plenty. For I can do everything through him who gives me strength." He has learned to be content. He has learned through the discipline of giving thanks to delight in the gifts that God gives in all different kinds of circumstances. Giving thanks is a discipline that brings delight. It is the way in which we consistently say yes to the grace of God in our lives. Let me encourage us this week, and maybe past this week, to keep a journal of thanksgiving, to return the gifts in our lives back to God. Let us be a people disciplined to see the world in a wholly new way, to heighten our senses so that we might delight in all that God provides. Let's pray. Jesus, we give thanks to you as our healer, our Savior. We give thanks to you as the one who has through whom all things have been created and to whom all things are headed. Help us, Jesus, to live with a heightened sense of you as our source and our sustainer. Help us to return our lives to you, to wake up in the morning and recognize the manna from heaven, the bread from heaven that comes, and to trust you that it will be there tomorrow as well. In Christ's name, amen.